Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Malacca is planning to build a 120-kilometer bridge or tunnel linking Malaysia and Sumatra and Indonesia via Teluk Gong in Malacca on the Malaysian side, and this is connected to Dumai on the Sumatra side. Now, would this mega infrastructure project between Malacca and Sumatra bring economic benefits, or are there concerns about its conception? Joining us on the show now, we have Sri Murniati Yusof. She is the Deputy Research Director at the think tank Ideas Malaysia. Murniati, what do you think, or what do you understand to be the reasons as to why we might need a Malaysia-Sumatra link?
Hi, Melissa. I think improving connectivity would be the main idea. I think it's always good to have improved connectivity between places in between two countries, especially I think between Malacca, between Malaysia and Sumatra. Sumatra is such a huge place in Indonesia. And right now, I think either you can reach it by via air or ferry. I think we have a ferry between Dumai and Malacca, but it takes 2 hours. And of course, it's the capacity is limited. So I think if we have bridge or if we have any direct link, of course, this is another question, right? Whether it should be tunnel, it should be bridge, but improving connectivity between these two sides of Selat Malacca is very important because it will reduce time and cost for anything for people to come in between these two countries. So I think the reason is good. The problem right now is what kind of link that we need to establish. Is it going to be bridge? Is it going to be tunnel? So I think there needs to be a careful consideration and study on what type of link that needs to be established between these two countries.
Okay, does it make a difference if it is a link or a tunnel? Wouldn't both modes or both infrastructure projects have the same objective of improving connectivity, as you said? I mean, what would be the considerations that go behind either a link or a tunnel?
A bridge or a tunnel?
I'm not an engineer, but I think there are several factors that need to be considered. For example, environmental impact, right? Which one would be better for the planet, also for the people, right? That's the first thing. I'm not sure whether bridge will be a better option than tunnel in terms of environment. The second would be cost, right? Say, for example, of course, in infrastructure project like this, usually the government should not be putting public financing, should not even guarantee. And it will be always coming from private sectors. The problem is who will be participating in this? It will require a large capital. So cost-wise also needs to be considered, right? Secondly, timeline, right? If it's such a very ambitious project, if it has to be created in 20 years, it's a little bit long incubation period. I mean, of course, you cannot expect the bridge or the link to be built within 3 years, you know, even English tunnel, for example. I mean, the example that we know a lot, right? It took them 9 years to build it. So, yeah, around that, right? Of course, with the technological advancement, maybe it can be easier. But it's also we need to acknowledge the fact that English Channel and Selat Malacca maybe have different contours, you know, different place. So there's a lot of the government, these two countries need to really study on what type of link that need to be established.
I'm wondering whether the location of the link matters. I mean, does it matter where a link between the two countries happens, or is all that matters the fact that two countries are connected and there's opportunities for mobility between our two countries?
Yes, exactly. And that should be part of the study, right? Should the link between Dumai and Malacca, should the link between, maybe that's the closest point between these two countries probably makes more sense, because connecting Kedah, for example, and Aceh, that would be even further, right? So I think these questions should not be about state government anymore, therefore, right? It should be between the two countries. The federal government should come here, because, I mean, we have a connection right now from Dumai to Melaka through ferries, but it doesn't mean that we have to build the link there. Of course, I'm not sure the feasibility. So that's why I think study is the most important part of this venture right now. I think it's a little bit too early for the government to announce, oh, we're going to build tunnel, when careful study has not been carried out.
All right.
Say, for example, in the case of English tunnel, I'm just going to use this as a reference. It took both the French and the British government 4 years to study. And this idea of English Channel is not, you know, it's been developed since 1800. They tried to do it in 1970s, but there's a crisis, okay, tak jadi. And then, okay, they revived the idea, okay, it took them 4 years in these two countries to study what is the technical aspect and the economic aspect, the economic viability of the tunnel. Have we done the same thing now with the Indonesian government, right?
Well, that's amazing that they took so long to think through this project. I believe the first time I had heard about this project, or when it was reporting the news, was in March. So clearly we may need more time to deliberate the details of it. Can I ask you about the Johor and Singapore link? So having that connectivity has allowed for free movement of trade and people between the two countries. What are the possibilities for benefits from the link between Malacca and Sumatra? Might it bring economic benefit? Because you mentioned that this should be more than just a state government project. This should be thought through at the federal level. But we've seen the economic prosperity that the Causeway has brought to Johor. What economic benefits might this bring, not just to Malaysia, but to Malacca, who has proposed this idea in particular?
I think, well, Sumatra is a fairly large area, right, in Indonesia, and it's relatively less developed. So connecting, right now, everything in Indonesia is connected to Jakarta. So for Sumatra to have another locus of development through Malaysia will benefit, I think Sumatra will benefit of the direct link to Malaysia. But for Malacca, I think the first thing would be tourism, right? Mm. I mean, right now, people from Riau, for example, they have to fly either to ride to KL first, then go to Malacca, right? Or they have to go to Jakarta and then to KL to Malacca. And only certain those who probably can afford it can come to Malacca. So if we have direct link, first thing is tourism, right? Even with Dumai ferry, I think the number has increased. But we will have a greater trade exchanges between the people of these two countries, right? Now that the fact that tariff between ASEAN countries have been eliminated, so these will greatly facilitate the you know, integrations of economy between these two countries. And okay, I think all of us will benefit from that. The question is now how to make that link. No.
Exactly. How to make that link and to ensure that a mega infrastructure project like this is viable, but also does not fall prey to the mistakes of the past. I know, Munyati, that Ideas has looked at the Malacca Gateway project, has done some research on that. Not just limited to the Malacca Gateway project, but to other mega infrastructure projects in our past. What would you say are some of the considerations that must go into the initial conception of this Malacca-Dumai link? Are there lessons from the past, lessons from the Malacca Gateway issues that we might do well to avoid?
I think the first thing, again, feasibility studies is the most important thing, right? We know that what kind of, what are the environmental consideration, what, who will benefit from this, what would be the, all the technical aspect, the government in both countries need to study this. That's the first one. The second one, I think this is something missing even from, of course, Melaka Gateway is not really like directly government project, but introducing competitive process. Right now, I think most of the big infrastructure project in Malaysia usually proposed by private sector. I mean, there's nothing wrong about that, but it becomes so incompetitive that that particular private sector, then they will get the contract. So introducing competitive process in the case of English Channel, again, I'm back to that one.
Yes.
For example, the government calls for proposal, you know, okay, call for proposal, four companies, four consortium, because it's a big project, four consortium submitted proposal. Four of them have different ideas. The first company have an idea of, I think, bridge, tunnel, bridge. So bridge first, tunnel and bridge. The second one, suspended bridge. Okay, you know, go like that and then coming like that. And then the other one, four tunnel. The last one, three tunnels. The government then settle with three tunnels proposal. So we don't have that process in most of our infrastructure project. So whatever, it, say LCS, right? It, even to the fact that the government bow to the pressures of private sectors of what kind of specification for you know, for infra, for project. So we don't want to have that. That's why competition is very important. Mm. And secondly, cost. Are we going to fund all these projects using government money, or are we going to use private sectors through public-private partnership? And to what extent government will say have guarantee? Of course, in the case of English Channel, the government said, no, I'm not going to give you any finances. I'm not going to give you guarantee. You use your own money, and you can charge the public, you know, for using the tunnel. So that's another model. So there's a lot of consideration from, again, feasibility studies, which include social and environmental impact assessment. You have to introduce competitive process and understanding costs and how the project management should be, or the project delivery should be conducted. So I think those are the most important thing that I can think of for now if you want to venture into major infrastructure like this.
Right. Thank you so much, Muriati, for joining me on the show. That was Sri Muriati Yusof, Deputy Research Director at Ideas Malaysia. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation about Malacca's plan to build a 120-kilometer bridge or tunnel linking Malaysia and Indonesia. This is via Malacca to Dumai in Sumatra. Joining us now is social activist Chan Soo Cheong. He is part of the Malacca Public Policy Club, which comprises a group of citizens who are interested in the governance of Malacca. Soo Cheong, thank you for joining me on the show. Can I ask you what your first impressions are of this proposed Malacca-Dumai link and what it aims to do?
I guess the reaction by a lot of Malaccans is actually very skeptical because we knew when we have concerns that whether this project would be feasible in the first place. It's not something new because in the 1990s, there's already this idea and proposal being thrown out. At the point of time, I think it was under, if I'm not mistaken, Rahim Tajici. Or was it Ali Bustam, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, in that period. And then in the 2000s, again, Idris Harun brought up that idea. And then again, today, we have the same idea linking Malacca and Dumai. And of course, those projects didn't take off. But I suppose the concerns that we have is, you know, is it feasible? And from the government part, they always say that this is important for the economic development of Malacca. Mm. But then again, you know, there's a question of, is it something that will really drive economic growth, or is there other political purpose behind it?
Okay. All right. I'm going to touch on that first, the proposed economic benefits from this. Johor benefited significantly from having the causeway, the link to Singapore. Do you think that is a proven case, that Malacca might be set to benefit from this link, particularly its tourism sector?
I think it's a good comparison that we can do between Johor and Singapore, right? So even before we build a mega infrastructure like this, I think the most basic question to ask is whether there's a need or is there a demand for it. So in the case of Johor and Singapore, we know that those two states or city-states have strong economic ties and social ties dating back, you know, to the 18th, 19th century. Whereas Malacca, Dumai has always been not majorly connected in whether in economic sense or so forth. So a good indicator, right, for example, currently in Malacca and Dumai, the major form of transportation is actually through the passenger ferry. So we do have that means of transportation, and actually there's not much demand for it, because I just checked yesterday, the frequency of the ferry is actually only one trip per day, and it carries about 150 passengers or so, right? So even at full capacity, you're talking at about currently per year, we are transporting maybe about 600,000 people at most to and from Malacca and Dumai. So that's why when I said earlier, there's a lot of skepticism on it, right? Is there really a demand for it? And what happens if we spend this multi-billion ringgit project and there's actually no demand for it and it fails?
Right.
It's a question of who's going to bear the consequences.
I think the demand factor is really important, because you think about the ferry between the Penang Island and mainland, there was such demand for that the bridge needed to be built. I do want to come back to what you mentioned a bit earlier, that this proposal keeps coming up. I didn't realize the historical element of it, the fact that it had been proposed before. Can you tell us why does it keep coming up, and why did those earlier proposals never materialize, never take off?
I suppose it keeps coming up because it's a romantic idea, right? So every state wants to showcase a major project, a mega project, and then, you know, they can announce it. So for example, like in this case in Malacca, the Exco announced it without much details, but it gathered a lot of attention nationally and also internationally. So that's, I think, the state perspective. They always like mega projects, fancy projects and things like that. And it's a good question on why, despite the previous announcements, nothing really taken off. From what I gathered from friends and also research, there is actually some sort of pre-feasibility study conducted already in the 1990s. And back then, the study shows that the cost of the project will actually be about 10 to 15 billion US dollars, right? And that's a huge amount for a mega infrastructure project for a small city like Malacca. So I think it's a question of, you have, number one, the feasibility itself in terms of the demand and whether it will be used. And then there's also the cost feasibility, right? The Exco announced, Malacca government announced that this project will be a private initiative, which means a private company will do it, right? So then the question is that which company would have such a large amount of capital, or if not, which investor would see the potential of this mega project that they will be willing to invest such a huge amount in. That's the cost perspective, right? And then the technical perspective, it's also very challenging, because you're talking about building a bridge or a tunnel. They haven't decided yet, right, apparently. So the Straits of Malacca, it's one of the busiest waterway straits in the world, because of the trading and things like that. So that is one factor. And the Straits of Malacca, the depth of it, my conversation with some engineers is that actually it's not a very flat surface, you know. The Straits actually dives down a little bit and then comes up a bit. So there's like actually a ditch within the Straits of Malacca. So those are the technical considerations that I think will prove to be very difficult for any company to undertake this.
Yeah, and it would make a huge difference in cost, whether it is a bridge or if it's an underwater tunnel, right? Can I ask you, you know, based on the very little that we know, you're absolutely right that there are no real details yet, but based on what you know, how might this, which communities within Malacca might be impacted by this project?
I think the population of Malacca generally will be affected, right? Because it's a mega project along the coastline of Malacca.
Right. And this is Telok Gong, right? Part of yes. It's where it's meant to be. Okay.
Correct. So Telok Gong is in Masjid Tanah. It's sort of like a semi-town area towards the north of Malacca. So within that area itself, the Malacca government did announce that if this bridge were to proceed, they also have to build the immigration complexes and things like that. And he also mentioned something about a new township to support this project. So if you're talking about this mega project and the subsidiary development around it, it's going to involve, I think, quite a huge area in terms of land. And in Masjid Tanah, a lot of those lands are actually traditional lands, right? Some of them, I suspect, are Malay customary land and things like that. So we might see an exercise of major land acquisition exercise by the government, which again then will drive up the cost of it. Beyond that, there's also a huge concern over the environmental impact because Malacca is under severe stress by the reclamation, ongoing reclamation projects that has been going on in Malacca. So you add that into the mix, definitely the environment will be affected. Primarily also the fishing area will be affected. And we have heard complaints by fishermen over the past 10 years on how our fishing zone has been shrinking. And this directly affects the food security of Malacca as well. We used to have a lot of fishermen, local fish coming in fresh to the markets and things like that. But over the 10 years, we've seen it declining and that affects us.
You know, I wonder whether the fact that we keep hearing, you know, you're absolutely right, but this is a kind of a big headline grabber, big news, good news, very confidence boosting type proposal, you know, big infrastructure projects often are. Does the announcement of such massive mega projects like this boost confidence for investors about the potential of economic growth in Malacca?
I think that's the overall intention of the state government in making announcements and proposals like this, right? But I would argue on the contrary, actually, because a lot of people view this very, very skeptically. There's a lot of backlash, there's a lot of negative reaction when this was announced, and rightly so. Because there is no details. They've announced it earlier this year and then again this year. And the details keep changing. You know, previously it was a bridge plus a rail. And then now they're not sure it's a rail or a tunnel. And there is no disclosure in terms of the cost, which company is involved and so forth. So while it's creating a lot of buzz within Malaysia and also the region, I think there's also a lot of skepticism that is being directed to the state government. And this is an unfortunate thing because it affects the credibility of the state government, right? So when you have announced something repeatedly without providing further details or progress into it, then in the future, when investors come and inquire about the states, I think they would have an issue of trusting whether the state can deliver what it promises or not. And of course, this is not the first time. The Malacca state government is very fond of white elephant projects, you know. So we have a lot of big, nice projects that look nice on paper and photos, but then at this point of time, it's turned into a big white elephant abandoned project. So for example, in Malacca, we have a monorail, which is not functioning at this point of time, but when it was launched about 10, 15 years ago, again, it was nice pictures, nice announcements and things like that, but now it's just a pile of steel sitting somewhere in the middle of town.
Okay, all right. I did not realize that was the case. Can I ask very quickly, in the minute or so that we have left, what involvement would you like to see from the Indonesian side? Is Dumai a booming economy that we would like to kind of tap into with this link?
I think that's the other important question to analyze in terms of Dumai, or Dumai is the region of Riau. Riau is actually not a very big region or city. The population of Dumai is about 300,000 people, and the capital city of Riau is Pekanbaru, which is about 1 million in terms of population. Economically, the region in Sumatra and Riau is primarily on primary industries, right? So you're talking about forest product, you're talking about palm oil, talking about cocoa and things like that. So there is not much economic synergy that I can see from this, right? Because Malacca, of course, we have a big tourism sector, but the backbone of our economy is actually the industry, the manufacturing sector, right? So how would this manufacturing sector in Melaka benefit from this so-called link that we have? Because a lot of the goods that we produce might not even end up or might not be needed in Sumatra. And likewise, the goods that they produce, for example, oil and gas, might not be relevant to Melaka. So these are, I suppose, bigger, larger, important questions that the state needs to answer before making this announcement in the name of, you know, good governance and transparency.
Thank you so much for joining me on the show. That was social activist Chan Soo Chong, and that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.